In the outside world we need some teacher. We are respectful to them, whatever learn at their feet. But all these outer subjects relate to the outer faculties, mind or interest. And in a subject, we start the ABC, which starts when you rise above body consciousness. When the world flashes and there the religion starts, reason is back, leisure to mind. We do need somebody. Of our own self, we cannot rise above body consciousness. Can we? Why can't we, I tell you? Because our souls are identified with the outgoing faculties, mind and intellect and the body, that we cannot, we are identified, we cannot differentiate ourselves. We are under grand delusion. Who can withdraw our attention from outside and from the body below, raise you up, you see I am not the body. Know thyself means, by self-analysis you know you are the driving force of all this faculty of the man body. Then you see the old self which is controlling you. So such life, this is definition generally given by all masters. They never say, I am God. They say, we are the messenger. We have been sent by God to guide you back to your home. That's all. If anybody says, what 10th Guru said, if any of you do call me God, you go to hell. You see, that is only to stop this misconception prevailing in the world. Our master used to say, he said, take me as your father, as your mother, elder, as your teacher. You follow my instruction, when you rise above body consciousness, you see something more, you may tell anything. So this is something which starts when you rise above body consciousness. And Guru Amar Das came to the feet of such a master after 70 long years. He says, I'm great, I've got great blessing to have a living master. So Guru Ram Das, he says, prayer. Anybody would pray. Oh God, make us the slave of the slaves who have become your slaves. We are all, you see, slaves of our outgoing faculties, slaves of the mind ramifications. We are slaves of the outer enjoyments of all those who are attached to us. We are not slaves of God. So he prayed, O God, let me, lead me to the feet of such a master who is your mouthpiece. And keep me with him till the end of my life. Let my soul depart while at his feet. Naturally, any lover would like to die at the feet of his beloved, is it not? We have been lovers of the world. When we are leaving, we call, where my son, where my mother, where that, where that. And the man who is the lover of God, he says, oh God, I've come, I'm going to my father. This is all master says. Guru Amar Das says, now I'm going back home. Don't cry. Baba Jam Singh said the same thing. Our master used to sit some months before, well, I'm leaving you. Oh, such like masters, we pray, O God, give us the feet of such a personality who is the mouthpiece of God. And he says, how long shall I should lie to die at his feet? This is very biggest prayer, you see. I mean prayer. Of all the prayers that we have. And he says, why have I chosen this thing? He says, even the most learned people like Shankara, who first gave out about the, what you say, oneness of God is all God, into expression or whatever it is. We are no other than God. Then later on he gave, his father gave out the Ramanuja, that we are still a cover of that power. We are not that. He also, you see, first he was preached like that and ultimately became to be a lover of Rama, God incarnation power. So as I told you, yesterday, in the temples, in the mosques, in the churches, there are symbols of light are found are there. Which is better? There are symbols don't show the such like models, the such like light and sound of God is reverberating within you. And one asks who is the better, and he is better of the two, of all these in whom that light is effulgent, is radiating. That is best of all. So these outer things you have found just for teaching the people that such like sound is there, such like light is within you, you are the two temples of God. We have respect for outer temples and places of worship as it is meant to direct people to the true temple of God which you are carrying. So long as the practical people were there, they gave a demonstration of that. They saw their own body was the true temple of God with the grace of the Guru. So he is best of all. Now he says Shankar, the most learned man, came out after to worship of man, incarnation. And Narad, who is the I see the Bhakti Yoga, head of the Bhakti Yoga, like Ramakrishna Paramahansa, he took to the Bhakti Yoga. And last of all, he saw, he first worshipped God in the symbol of Mother. Mother enveloped me all around, right, left, up, down. There was no place where Mother was not. He came to his Guru. He said, look here, I cannot rise into oneity, unity of God. He took something, whatever was lying, and put him here. Put your attention here. Rise above. Then he had risen into oneness of God. So I tell you, the most learned and the most devoted God, I mean Bhakti Yoga, and also of all other yogas, they bear testimony, they hanker to come to the feet of somebody who is born made flesh. One is, fire is burning somewhere, to sit by that, and one is learning how to burn the fire by rubbing. So that is why Maula Room gave out, if you can find to sit at the feet of a master, not the so-called masters, excuse me, for 1 hour, that will give you an effect, a benefit you would not be able to derive by sitting 100 years in the outer palaces. So, so Guru Ramdas say, why we want to set the feet of a master like that and die at his feet? Because even the most learned people, the most bhakti yoga heads and others all crave for the, I mean, what is presence or the guidance or the company of those who were made flesh, direct mouthpieces of God. He says, further it is, such like people, those who were made flesh, wherever they laid their feet on, where they resided, they became the places of pilgrimages. Christ lived in Jerusalem. That is the place of pilgrimage for all Christians. Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad, was at Mecca. That's the place of pilgrimage of all the Muslims all over the world. Buddha was awakened. In India there is a place there, that is called, that place is a place of pilgrimage for all Buddhists. Guru Nanak born somewhere which are called now as Nankanasal. He sat at the feet of a some tree which became sweet, part of it, the fruit became sweet, then called as by that place where he sat. So one word made flesh sat in so many places, all places became the what the places of worship. Which is better of all? Kabir puts question, O God, have a doubt in me, tell me, clear that out. Is it the word made better or the places of pilgrimage? You will say, you will have to say, the word made flesh, wherever it sits, is better of all these places of worship. Pilgrimages, because it is due to him that place of pilgrimage came to be. So that is why Guru Ram Das say, I pray, O God, let me sit at the feet of you, of such a word made flesh, and die at his feet. Then he says, what to do? Just seek. If you hear somebody like that, go and sit at his feet. Don't think of your high position, or your wealth, or your ego. You just hear somebody like that, go and sit at his feet. See for yourself what you want. Don't go by the propaganda. Simply go and see. These are the things which sometimes stand in our way. You know, there is one saint, Ravidas. Mirabai, a saint, came to his feet and was blessed, was put on the way. The king of his time was called by name Pipa. He heard about it, that Ravidas, who was by profession a cobbler, is a great saint here. So many people had gathered together at his feet and derived benefit. He also wanted to go to his feet, but he considered, I am a king. How can I go to the feet of a cobbler? Worldly position, sometimes the wealth, sometimes high education, stands her way. Oh, I know so much, I have so much, why should I go? One day he could not remain, you see. At the evening time, here you see, at the evening time many people go around. In old days, people used to go to the places of worship, sit there, temple, all at home. He ran up and go to the house, went to the house where Ravidas saint was living. He said, Master, I have come. He said, all right, he has not thought of his position and wealth and anything. He has come, all right, I will give him such a thing he will remember forever. You see, he was just washing the skin in the cobbler. And the king was afraid, oh my Lord, what will happen if my master just drink that water which is washing off the skin? You see, the predominantly, I mean, presence of a great master, man forgets everything. He could not refuse. He simply took the water, let it go to the shirt, ran back, oh God, I am saved. I was otherwise fired. When he came home, he called for the washerman, little wash this cloth. That was some stain of his skin, I mean, water of his skin, washing. So the daughter, he asked his daughter to just with the tongue clean it off, wash it, and then the shirt was washed. In that there was attention, you see, mind that. Attention works wonders. What is initiation? It's a literal attention given to, which gives you a boost to rise above body consciousness. Outward expression of the soul is called attention. When attention is diverted, rabbited at one place, that works wonder. So, washerman's daughter became to be known as a saint. People began to gather together at her feet. King also came to know about it, that the daughter of my washerman is a saint, people are coming, let me go to and visit him. He is not a cobbler, she is not a cobbler, you see. went over there. When he reached there, the daughter, the wiser man, stood up with hands, hold it. And the Pipa king said, told him, look here, daughter, I have come to see you as a saint, not as a daughter. You should not have stood. She said, also I have not stood that because you are a king. I am only standing in reverence because whatever I have got, it is through your favor. And she explained what it was, that I just washed the stain of the on the shirt which you gave us with my tongue. Then he repented and came. Now the master, the people say, if you hear of such a master, who would not wish to go to such a master? But such masters have been few in the past. Even now they are few, but they are not, world is not without them. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Demand and supply goes on as a law. If a child was born 5,000 years back, 500 years back, and now, does not nature make arrangements for world in the mother before it is born? Don't you think those who will come in future, they will refuse that consideration? So, masters do live. They never say we are gods. They simply say we are your brothers. We are all brothers and sisters of God. Of course, they say, with the grace of God, something is working, that all credit goes to Him. So, Guru Ramdas gives that wherever you hear such like masters, you go to His feet. Don't think of the worldly position. Don't think of your high position. Don't think of the learning that you have got. To go is better, you see. Saint Augustine said, what is the way back to God? He says, first humility, second humility, and third humility. You are humble only when you try to go to somebody. Even if you go there, you are not humble, then whatever tumbler, you see, whatever glass is put under a tumbler of water, only that will be filled. If it is placed above the tumbler, then what you know that's all right. Keep it to you. Just hear what he says. He might be saying something else. And you understand that, follow it. When you have that sin manifest in you, become humble, truly humble. Any fruit-laden tree, the branch of it laden with fruit, that bends down to the ground. So humility comes up only then. Now the point is, what does he give such a man? We have business right, you see. Why should you go to such a person? He says, his first work is give a boost to you to rise up above body consciousness. He gives you a rebirth into the beyond. You know what Christ gave out? Except you be born in you, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, who was a very learned Jew, had it there. He came up, Lord, how can, we are old ones, how can we re-enter the womb of the mother and be reborn? He said, you are a learned man, everybody respect you. Don't you know that flesh is born of the flesh and spirit of the spirit? Then he said, you must be reborn. This rebirth called. In Amaji, it is called twice born. You see, this is what they give. That's only had at the feet of master. Guru Nanak was asked, when did you escape the wheel of life and death, coming and going? He says, by having a rebirth at the feet of my master. When you become conscious co-worker of divine plan, your ego is gone. If you have not become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, then you are the doer. Whatever you sow, you will have to reap that. Good action will give you good results, bad. The wheel of coming and going will go on. So So this is the first thing who raises you from the depths of the poisons of the outgoing faculty above all that, bring you up and open your inner eye to see the light of God. Moralum referred to it as we are all in the prison house of the body. We have forgotten ourselves how to come out of the body. He says, you break the roof, open the hole into the roof and go up. So in man's body, you see, so long as you are working at the level of the outer faculties, all impressions are coming within you. If you stop all that, draw your attention from all outside, the outgoing faculty won't work. And just collect all your attention at the feet of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes, then that inner eye will open, single eye, you will see the light of God. You see the voice of God, music of the spheres, which will lead you where? That will lead you where, from where that emanated. The God said, I am one and wish to be many. There was vibration. And vibration results in two things, light and sound. So this is direct way back to God. So, what is done? You see, when you meet a master, he gives you how to rise above body consciousness, how to become conscious co-worker, divine plan, that power is working, it is not you. Then you lose your ego, that Lord of reckoning, of justice, which just gives us what is decisions according to our actions, then while a doer. But those who become conscious over the divine plan, they have not to attend that court of law. So this is, while all your records back are present, when there is nobody to bear the reactions of the past, no ego is left, no doer is left, then who will bear that? So all are watchers. So you are not to attend the court of reckoning after your death. As you sow, so shall you reap. You escape that beast. Because you become conscious, you are no more doer of the day thing. So such like people, you say, what to do? When you want permanent peace and permanent jaya, then there is one thing only. Don't, he said, delay a minute. Seek the feet of somebody who is master in that sense. And so when such master come, what they do? They all right, here's the way back to God, come up, God will lead you there. He has sent me to carry you over there. He does not say, I am God, he says, I am messenger. Just, you see, there are two kinds of masters who come into the world. Electricity is the same. Somewhere it burns fire, somewhere it gives you eyes clean. There are two different workings of that power, which is called. One is called incarnations of God, the other come of the negative power, you might say, of God, time, and the other is incarnations of God. So saints also come to the world, their mission is different, and others also come, their mission is to punish the wicked, to uphold the righteous, and let the world going. Whereas those who come to take back soul back home, that is to depopulate the world, you see, and bring people home. It is something, I may give you an example. There is a prison house. One man goes there, he takes pity on them, they don't get good food, he allowed some money. and the prisoner begins to have good food after that. Another man goes there, he sees they've got no clothes. He sanctions some amount and the prisoner begins to have good clothes. A third man goes over there, he says they've got no ventilated buildings to live in. He sanctions some allotment, made some money, and they begin to have good ventilated house. All three people went out there. Their sympathy was for the prisoners. They began to have good food, good clothing, good buildings to live in. Another man went up. He had the key of the door of the prison. He opened the door. All right, go out, each one. Who had more sympathy for those men? So saints are like that. They come to take you back home. So whenever you come under the custody of such a personality, call by any name you like now, he's a man born like us, of course. But the difference is, he has control all his outgoing faculties, he takes work from them as he desires, and we are led away by the outgoing faculties. He rises, he wants his body is working in the world, but his soul is in tune with God, is the mouthpiece of God. He appears to very much, I've engaged in worldly affairs, but whenever he wants, he rises above body consciousness and transcends to beyond. So he can work both ways, here and there. To have such a master, living master, is a great blessing. So such like people come up, then the question comes, what is in their hands with which they do all these things? They are world made flesh, mind that. That world has got, as you told, as I submitted to you, to a special light in some. They come, that's already within us, but our soul is just identified with the world outside. We draw all our attention from outside and give it something to start with, some capital to start with. It not simply says, go on doing it, you'll have it. No. A bird in hand is better than two in the bush. He gives you demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness. Gives you some capital to start with of light and sound. By regular practice, they do own, you see, at times Guru Amar Das says, I was sometime like you working in the world, under the control of outgoing faculties, but now I have risen above with the grace of God, working through my Guru. So every saint has its past and every sinner future. So there is hope for everybody. Those who got man body, they have got the heredity right, as I told you, to know God. So in their hand, what nectar they have got, what medicine they have got, by which they raise our souls from all outward enjoyment, gives a higher bliss within, that it will bring you in contact with the world within you. Thy world is lamp unto my feet. Take heed that the light within you is not darkness. You follow? With that thing, they do like that. So, when the master come, you know that when Christ sent his disciples to preach outside, he said, what you heard in the ear, tell them from the housetop. These things are now being given out openly as platform. This is the basic teaching of all masters who came, whether in the East or the West. Now we need somebody. If we can rise up our own self, well and good, what more is wanted? But if we cannot, if somebody comes there, then God sends him. Your prayer is true. God made some arrangement to bring us in contact with somewhere where he can have this facility of rising to. Demonstration of rising above body consciousness, opening inner eye. So they come and proclaim, here's the way. God wants each one of you to come back to his home. And that thing which leads you to your true home is within you already, controlling you in the body. You are simply to withdraw your attention from outside and give your contact with that, and which will lead to where, from where it emanates, to Absolute Lord.
Good morning and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you listened to was part two of a talk called Who is Really a Master? And was given on October 9th, 1972 in New York City. Our reader this morning is Rick Casey. Hello, Rick.
Hello. Today I will be reading from the book God-Man, starting at Chapter 11, Scriptures and Their Value. Guru is a highly spiritual being with a sway extending as far as Sach Khand. He has a first-hand knowledge of And, Brahmand, and Sach Khand, the three grand divisions from physical to purely spiritual realms. Free from the clutches of body and mind, he is charged with pure spirituality. Unless a jiva comes into contact with such a being, his latent spiritual aspirations are not stirred up. The guru is really a lighted candle that lights many blown-out candles. He can, by transmitting his own life impulse, enliven others. Some persons feel that by the study of scriptures alone, they can have spiritual light and need no master for this purpose. We may pause here and consider the value and worth of the sacred books or holy scriptures. These are, after all, nothing but the records of the personal spiritual experiments of ancient sages, seers, prophets, and men of piety. It is good to read them with loving devotion. We should have respect for them, for they constitute a great treasure house of spirituality, which our forefathers have left for our benefit. The sacred books and biographies of the high-souled personages create a spiritual longing and inspire us with hope and courage. We may, to a certain extent, become acquainted with the broad principles of spirituality, but cannot learn their right import, nor get the life impulse, both of which come from a living master alone. Books are, after all, material things, and matter cannot impart life. Life comes from life, as light comes from light. It is only an awakened soul that can rouse us from our deep slumber. We may read scriptures for ages upon ages and perform countless sacrificial deeds, but cannot have spiritual awakening and spiritual insight. Spirituality can neither be bought nor taught, but may be caught like an infectious disease from one who may himself be spiritually infected, nay, rather obsessed. The teachings of the saints have not only to be learned, but have also to be revealed. Besides knowledge of the theory of the path, it has to be seen, experienced, and verified. It is at once a science and an art, into the mysteries of which only an adept can safely lead, guide, and take us through. God can best be served through devotion to a God-man, for it is by His grace that we reach God. Again, even the scriptures and the past masters emphatically exhort us to find a living master. Drink the washings of the sod's feet. Make a holocaust of thyself for His sake. Wash in the dust of His feet, and be a sacrifice to Him. Be ye a slave to the saints. And this is all that ye need to know. Bhai Gurdas also tells us, in the Guru lie hidden all the Vedas and the sacred scriptures. A contact with him is enough to help one to safely cross over the ocean of life. We cannot know truth without the master of truth. God himself has to come down for this very purpose. There are persons who studiously and scrupulously study the scriptures all their lives. They know a great deal by rote and can deliver learned discourses and give high-flown talks on spiritual matters, but unfortunately are altogether devoid of spiritual knowledge and spiritual experience. Their life and conduct is as blank as that of any other. They have not learned at the root, nor drunk the water of life at the fountainhead of life, the living master. In Sri Asa Ki War, we have, one may stuff his head with so much learning and accumulate a heavy load of knowledge. He may raise and gather a regular harvest of learning. All his life he may go on studying from year to year, month to month, from moment to moment. O Nanak, one thing you may know for certain, he will become a bloated ass. O Nanak, one may study sacred lore by weight and be engaged ceaselessly in this task. What, after all, is the value of learning when Nam lies far beyond all holy books? Books, after all, contain a description of God's knowledge, but cannot actually deliver the goods. Know ye for certain that the essence of all knowledge and wisdom lies in Duni, sound principle, and as such, it is indescribable. The essence, then, is within us, but we cannot have it unless we know how to tap inside, as Emerson puts it. Dr. J. D. Ryan, the parapsychologist and researcher, tells us in his book, Mind and the New World, that there is something in man that transcends all matter. If spiritual knowledge could be had from books, then all the learned people would by now be saints. But in actual experience, we see that in spite of all their book learning, they continue to be as material as the very libraries that house the books. Laden with the dead weight of book knowledge, they may be likened to an ass staggering under the dead weight of sandalwood and experiencing not the sweet scent emanating therefrom. Like a ladle in the pudding, they are ignorant of the taste of the pudding. In this age of learning, when the world is literally flooded with books, there is, unfortunately, no flood of spirituality and not even an inkling of spiritually minded people. It is only the advent of a master of truth that brings spirituality into the limelight, and many there are who become dyed in spiritual colors. A conscious spirit can be activated and quickened into life by someone who is more conscious. Neither books nor intellectual knowledge can do this thing. No person, no matter how intellectual, can infuse life in another unless he himself has life. To talk of spirituality is much easier than to live spiritually. Such persons only dabble in spirituality and just make a show of it and cannot do any real good. Maulana Rumi says, come under the overall influence of some saint, thou canst not find the path from a mere imitator. In the Gospel, we find the words of Christ, Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Matthew 7:15. Association with a saint is bound to create in a jiva a longing for spirituality. This, in fact, is the touchstone for the worldly wise. Such a being is worthy of respect and adoration with all our hearts and souls. Whoever comes in contact with him is magnetized and is charged with spirituality and taken along to spiritual realms. My body, mind, and wealth all belong to the Master. His grace has provided the Holy Grail and made me whole. The world holds no greater benefactor than he. He who contacts a sadh is ferried across safely. The ideal of the Master is spiritual. He is not limited to his physical body as we are. He is Word personified. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. The physical body is just like a raiment, which has to be cast off both by the disciple and the Master the moment this spiritual journey begins. As it is the untrammeled spirit that has to tread the spiritual path. But so long as he works on the physical plane as a teacher to the stray brethren, blessed indeed is his form, full of godly grace, shedding godly light around him and charging all and sundry with powerful rays of spirituality. Man is the teacher of man, and ideal man has ever been the ideal of man. Those who regard it as idolatry do not know the secret of the Master's greatness. This man worship, as they call it, is much better than book worship or idol worship, because it is worship of higher consciousness by lower consciousness. Life can come from life, not from inert matter. Hazrat Khusro, a great Sufi poet, in his well-known couplet, tells us, people allege that Khusro has become an idol worshiper. Verily, do I admit it, for the world has nothing to do with me. Again, another Persian poet, from his sickbed, said, O ignorant physician, take thy leave, for thou knowest not that for the lovesick there is no other remedy except the sight of his beloved. Similarly, Guru Nanak in his childhood, when afflicted with the pangs of love, asked the physician who came to attend him to quit, as he could not find out the illness of his heart. There is nothing in common between a worldly wise man and a devotee. One who has never known devotion cannot know the worth of a master, who is a polarized God, shedding kindly light in the world. Truly speaking, the term guru is not an appellation of any person. It signifies and stands for a dynamic power that works in and through a particular human form and is the ideal for us all. This is the power that helps in spiritual advancement. Like a floodlight, he floods the world with his spiritual light, and one cannot see anything besides light. The aspirants for spirituality gather around him like moths and make a holocaust of themselves in his august and holy presence. Kabir Sahib says, the ignorant regard the Master as a human being, and are caught in the whirlwind of the world and sink down. Their mind and body are of no consequence, and they cannot gain anything. They cannot develop any devotion in themselves, and hence cannot escape from bondage. Such jivas make a headlong dash for hellfire and ceaselessly move with the giant wheel of creation. Well, that's the end of chapter 11. I will continue with chapter 12. Guru is Superman or God-man. As a man, Guru is an ideal man. In him shines the very sun of spirituality. He is the fountainhead of life. He is an epitome of the entire creation, visible and invisible, right from Sat Lok down to the physical plane. No one can know him fully, even as it is impossible to swim across an ocean. For a dip in the water, one does not go into mid-ocean, but is content with the water at the beach or the bathing ghat. Through the perfect man, one can enjoy the love, light, and life of God. If we ask of his greatness, of his native place, how he has come down, and what his mission is in life, all that can be said is that he has come directly from the kingdom of God, or Sat Lok, and having crossed various intermediary planes, Tap Lok, Jan Lok, Swar Lok, Manwar Lok, etc., has reached the physical world, or Bru Lok, just to manifest the Godhead that is his to the world weary. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. His Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. Murshid e Kamil, perfect master, is a veritable abode of God's attributes in fullness and in abundance. The kindly light of heaven shines in him, and he diffuses it among mankind. The love of God is surging in him like heaving sea waters. The moving waters at their priest-like task of pure ablution round Earth's human shores. Keats. And above all, he is the light of life, and his greatest mission is to impart the life impulse to the stark, cold jivas, all immersed in worldly pursuits, dead to higher instincts. God may well be perceived in God-man. It is said that God made man after his own image and asked the angels to bow before him. Maulana Rumi says, he has placed the veritable sun in man. When a person rises in cosmic awareness, he finds that the master is the hub of the entire universe. He is truth personified, possessing the very essence of God and fit to be worshipped by all. He is the leader and guide of mankind, the greatest, the highest, and the perfect one among them. He is the genuine abode of all that is good and noble. He is the prototype of God, working as his viceroy and administering his laws on all planes, physical and spiritual. He is gifted with forensic acuteness, discriminative acumen, and sound judgment. He may be unlettered, but still he is the most learned. Even as a man, he is the holiest of the holy, most pious, and most loving. With love that far transcends societies, countries, and nations. His self is coeval with mankind. He is the citizen of the world, and his appeal is one of universal interest. He is, in short, the deputy of God, come into the world to share his love, light, and life with erring humanity. In this world, he lives just like any other individual, although in the world, he is not of the world. He loves all people much more than parents love their children. He knows but looks beyond our shortcomings and smilingly helps us to overcome them. Full of compassion, Christ-like, with sore and bruised feet, the Son of Man ceaselessly goes about with insatiable hunger in his soul, passionately seeking to recover and retrieve that which is lost. Lost man, his brother, lost soul. He may look like a man, but in reality, he is more than a man, more than a superman, indeed. He is perfect in every respect, physically, mentally, morally, spiritually, and as a manifestation of God. With all his greatness, he works as the lowliest of the low and humblest of the humble. He combines in himself power and poverty, intellect and love, greatness and humility. Master of truth as he is, he far excels even a superman. His sway extends to purely spiritual regions, which lie beyond human limitations of time, space, and causation. He can at will leave the physical body, tread the sun and moon, traverse subtle and causal planes, and transcend Parabrahm and beyond. Science, with its material accomplishments, is groping in the dark. All scientific research is still in the material world, where the scientists are relentlessly working with all the mental and moral force at their command. They have no idea of the various planes to which the Master of Truth has access at his free will and sweet pleasure. Those who accept the Master's teachings and work under his direction can see for themselves. All the saints are at one in their conclusion. The kingdom of God lies within. Christ tells us, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Luke 17:20-21. Again, in Gurbani we have, everything is within you, and nothing is outside you. Quest without is fruitless, when the crest jewel, O brethren, is lodged within you. He who searches without is yet in the wilderness. The human body is the temple of God. It is the real church, the synagogue, and the mosque made by God. And what a pity we try to seek him in man-made houses. One who knows how to cut deep in the cavern of the mind and experiment in the laboratory of the soul can successfully see the wonder of sublime sights and hear the celestial strains of the harmony divine. In the body lies everything. Kan, mandal, and patal. Inner planes, high and low, including the nether world. In it is lodged the crest jewel of spirituality. And a devotee can have this in abundance. The entire macrocosm is in the microcosm. In this body, one can find Nam if one were to follow the instructions of the Master. Sanai, the great philosopher, tells us, in the kingdom of the human body, there are innumerable firmaments and powers that work in order. The spirit has to traverse many a high and low region, mountain and river valley. There are many plains, oceans, wildernesses, and bewildering heights of which one can hardly conceive. In this mighty maze, the physical world is just like a tiny speck on a big ocean. The human body, being the temple of God, is just a model of the grand creation, and whoever delves into it is able to know the secret of the creation. Brahman and Pind have been fashioned alike. Investigations of the one automatically reveal the mystery of the other, like an open book. Great indeed is man, gifted as he is, with untold possibilities. The very macrocosm is lodged in the microcosm of the body. We, however, look to outer raiment and are concerned with it constantly, little knowing what is behind the folds of this garment. We nourish and pamper the body, but allow the roots to run dry. The roots of the entire creation originate in the subtle region, which we can reach by a process of inversion. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Mark 10:15. But unfortunately, we never have a peep within, because we are averse to becoming as a little child. Emerson, a great philosopher, also exhorts us to tap inside. Bergson advises us to take a mortal leap within, to land at the source of all knowledge. The lessons of the process of inversion, tapping inside, the mortal leap within, or becoming as a little child, as Jesus puts it, are given in detail by the Master of Truth, both by word of mouth and by instructions on the various planes as the Spirit travels onward under His personal guidance and care. Saints are scientists of the spiritual world and masters of paravidya, knowledge of the beyond, i.e., knowledge of that which lies beyond reason and intellect, and can be learned or known through the sense of perception. It is a subject of extrasensory perception, as it is called by the modern psychic science researchers and parapsychologists, who, as J.D. Ryan tells us in his book, Mind and the New World, have discovered through their investigations that there is something operative in the human being which transcends the laws of matter. The Master of Truth is fully conversant with that something and is competent to grant the full extrasensory perception, as an eye surgeon can restore sight to the physical eyes. The Master, like Buddha, tells us that physical life is all misery, and that beyond it there are countless subtle planes where one experiences nothing but bliss and light. Every day he goes to those plains and tells us of his experiences. Those who follow his instructions and experiment in the laboratory of the mind under his guidance see subtle worlds just as we see the physical, and the results are as sure, certain, and definite as 2 and 2 make 4. Well, I believe I've come to the end of my time. I was reading from the book God-Man, chapters 11 through 12. Thank you, Master, for everything.
Thank you, Rick, for reading Master's beautiful words to us. There were 83 participants at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Divine Master, for bringing us together to receive your guidance and blessings.
So every saint has his past, and every saint has his future. There is hope for everybody. Guru Amar Das, when he came up to that state, he said, I was like you someday. So there is hope for everybody. Those who have got man body, that is why man body is spoken of very highly.